take the scriptures and open them again at Luke chapter 2. We read together verses 21 to verse 39 of this chapter. The passage that we read records another incident from the nativity and the early childhood of the Lord Jesus Christ, events that took place just after the Savior was born. In fact, the events of this passage of Scripture, I would go as far as saying, undoubtedly, took place before the wise men came to visit the Lord Jesus Christ, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 2. I say that for a very particular and definite reason. We can pinpoint the exact time these events when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus into the temple to present him before the Lord. We know the time. Verse 21 tells us that as the custom of the Jews was, 8 days after the Savior was born, he was circumcised to fulfill the law to the Old Testament covenant people of God. But then we read in the following verses, verse 22, that when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and that took place in the temple. Now the days of a woman's purification under the ceremonial law, 8 days after the son was born, he was circumcised. 33 days later, her period of purification ended. Now 8 and 33, I make that 41. And so 41 days, which is a day short of 6 weeks, Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him, to dedicate him unto the Lord, and to make an offering for the firstborn. It was an offering of 2 turtle doves, according to the law. You'll see that in verse 24, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. The wealthy offered the bullock or the lamb. The poor offered the pigeons or the turtle doves. And it reminds us and teaches us that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He was born into a poor home and household. And so 6 weeks after his birth, he was brought to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord. And I say that these events happened before the wise men visited, because if you look at verse 39, it tells us when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. So after they attended the temple, they returned to Nazareth, their own city in Galilee. But when you read in Matthew 2 of the wise men coming to visit the Christ child, you discover that they went down into Egypt because Herod was going to slay all of the young baby boys in Bethlehem from 2 and under. How do we rectify the 2? Well, I believe it's very simple. 6 weeks after Christ was born, he was presented to the Lord in the temple. Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth in Galilee. And at some point later, they came back to Bethlehem when the star guided the wise men to Bethlehem, where they presented their gifts to Christ. Some commentators believe it was up to a year following that the wise men came, because Joseph would return for the taxation purposes the following year. But while these events almost undoubtedly took place before the wise men's visit, I want to hone in tonight on what actually happened when Mary and Joseph brought the Christ child to the temple. You see, while in the temple, they encountered two senior citizens, two aged saints. One was a man, his name was Simeon, and one was a woman, her name was Anna. They were coming to an end of their public service for the Lord. And the events that unfolded within the temple on that day are most instructive and of gospel application to each and every one. And while there is much that we could say, and we could draw it, we could preach on each one of them, various sermons and messages, I have picked out tonight three general lessons that include them both, Simeon and Anna, that I want to leave with you at the close of this gospel meeting. I want you firstly to consider the deliverer that they beheld. And I want you to look at verse 28 and then verse 30. It says, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. It's speaking of Simeon. And I want you to envisage the scene within your mind. You see, the Bible tells us here in these verses that Simeon was led of the Holy Ghost. As a believer, he not only had the Holy Ghost within him, but he was led of the Holy Ghost to attend the temple at Jerusalem. Just at the very same time that Mary and Joseph seemed to be entering the temple with the Christ child, who is 41 days old. So that they might present them before the Lord and make an offering on behalf of the firstborn as written in the law of Moses in Leviticus 12. And at the very same time that Simeon is entering the temple, Mary and Joseph are entering. There's no coincidences with God. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is ordained of the Lord. And the Lord had Simeon there at the very time that Mary and Joseph were entering with the Christ child. It's no accident. It's no mistake. It's not chance that you are in the house of the Lord tonight. It has been ordained of God that you should be here in the house of the Lord on this night. And as Simeon was entering the temple and Mary and Joseph are entering, and no doubt Mary had the Christ child in her arms, the Spirit of God witnessed to Simeon that the child that Mary was holding was the Messiah, the Christ child, the one who was prophesied from the beginning of time that he would come into the world to be the deliverer and the savior of men. And the Holy Ghost showed that to Simeon. I wonder, has the Holy Ghost impressed that upon your heart? Has it been impressed on your soul that Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, that he is the one who was prophesied at the fall of man when Adam and Eve sinned? God prophesied that a man-child would be born of a woman who would be the deliverer and the savior of sinners. Has the Holy Ghost impressed that upon your heart? Do you know, have you accepted, do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and the only savior of sinners? And as the Holy Ghost showed Simeon that, we're not told how it exactly unfolded or happened, but Simeon approached him. He requested if he could nurse the child. And he took the little baby Jesus up in his arms. And he blessed God and he thanked God for that Christ. Have you thanked God for sending his Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners, to be your Savior? He blessed and thanked God. And then he said this in verse 30. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He thanked God because that little child, as he's holding him, his eyes had seen his salvation. Can I say to you, when he made that statement, his eyes weren't looking at Mary? There's no salvation in Mary. She doesn't even have influence with Christ in the sense that she can put a little word in for you that the Lord might forgive your sins. No. Mary has no power, no authority if such is ascribed to her in the Word. Mary can't get you to heaven. Mary can't speak a word into the ear of her Son as such to pardon you or forgive you. There's no salvation in Mary or any one of the other saints. Let me tell you this, he was not only not looking at Mary, but he wasn't looking at the temple either. Wasn't looking at the altar, for though the altar symbolized Calvary, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away sin stain. No, the temple couldn't save. The temple wasn't salvation that Simeon was beholding. There's no salvation in the outward rituals or routines of religion, no matter how orthodox it is. When he made that statement, he was looking at Jesus Christ. And you know, Anna saw the same thing in Jesus Christ that Simeon saw, because if you look at verse 38, it says, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption." She praised God the same as Simeon did. And then she spoke to all who looked for redemption, for deliverance, for salvation, for freedom from sin and its curse and its guilt. This is the one that you need. This is the deliverer. My friends, when Simeon and Anna, their eyes beheld Christ, they beheld God's deliverer, God's Savior. God's salvation is provided for sinners through Jesus Christ, through his sinless life. He kept the law on our behalf that we can't do. Salvation is provided through Christ's sacrificial death. He died as a sacrifice, suffering. And he died performing a substitutionary work. He didn't suffer for himself and for his own sins. He suffered for the sins of his people, for your sins. And if you're going to be saved from your sin, if you're going to be redeemed from the curse, if you're going to be right with God, then you're going to find that salvation, that redemption, not in Mary or any of the saints, not in the church or any of its ceremonies or its ordinances or its sacraments. You will find it alone in the person and the work of Christ. He said, "Mine eyes have seen." Have you fixed your eyes on Christ? Are you looking to him and to him alone for the salvation of your soul? That's the deliverer that they beheld. But then I want to say a word secondly to God's people, for not only do we notice the deliverer they beheld, but the duty they performed. Looking for redemption and salvation in the promised Messiah resulted in these two believers living for the Lord. You see, salvation not only affects our standing before God, salvation affects our relationship with God. And what is recorded about how these two aged saints lived sets forth for us the duty and the lifestyle of every true believer. What can we say about them? What do we see about them? What is revealed about them in this passage? Well, let me sum it up in three ways. Simeon walked in the Spirit, verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. When a man or woman truly repents and believes the gospel, the Holy Spirit enters into their soul. And the Spirit of God does many things for us, but one of the things that he does is he leads us. And Simeon lived, he walked. When we talk about walking spiritually, we're talking about how we live our lives. Simeon lived, he walked in the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. He was taught of the Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit into the house of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The Spirit guided him to the house of the Lord. If we're walking in the Spirit, he will guide us and he will lead us to be in the Lord's house. Galatians 5 and 25, Paul wrote these words to the churches in Galatia: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we are saved and we have the Spirit within, let us walk as the Spirit leads us. And how does the Spirit lead us? Jesus gave the answer. He leads us according to truth in John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he has come, he will lead you into all truth. What is truth? Jesus said, thy word, the scriptures are truth. The Spirit will not lead you to do anything that is contrary to the scriptures. He leads us according to his word, the word of the Lord. Are you walking in the Spirit? Is your life in conformity to the scriptures? That's how the Lord leads us. It's like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When I was in my sin, I walked. I lived as I wanted, as I pleased. But when I became a Christian, then I began to live as the Lord directed and as he pleased. That's walking in the Spirit. I wonder, are you walking in the Spirit? But then not only was Simeon walking in the Spirit, I want you to notice Anna was waiting in supplications. Verse 37 in the second part. This was a woman who had lived with her husband for 7 years after they were married. And then she was widowed after just 7 years of marriage. And from that time, she dwelt in the temple, in the house of the Lord, and served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, sometimes as we get older and our health begins to fail, we wonder, is there anything we can do for the Lord? Well, here's a greatly aged woman. And how did she serve the Lord? She served the Lord with fastings and prayers in the temple and in the house of the Lord. And to our aged brethren and sisters, maybe you can't be out as much as you would like to be in the house of the Lord. You wish you could be out more. You can serve the Lord by praying at home. God's people can serve, and it is a service for the Lord to be at the public prayer meetings and to call upon the Lord. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And you know, one of the marks of a new believer is that they pray. Said of the Apostle Paul, as soon as he was converted, behold, he prayeth. That was what set him apart. Simeon was walking in the Spirit. Anna was waiting before the Lord, praying for her loved ones to be converted, praying for the work of God, praying for the ministry of the gospel, praying for the Redeemer and the Messiah to come. The child of God that has set their eyes upon Christ for salvation will walk in the Spirit, will wait before the Lord in supplication. And then Anna noticed something else about this woman. She witnessed for the Savior. Look at the second part of verse 38. It says, she spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She went and she told them, we've found him. I've set my eyes upon him. I've seen him. And you'll notice she didn't speak about the theology of the Old Testament. She didn't speak about the orthodoxy of the Pharisees or the priests. No, she speak of him. She speak of Christ. Wonder, do you speak of him? She had seen the Redeemer, she met the Redeemer, and then she told others of the Redeemer. You know, that's the pattern for God's people. Do you remember the woman at the well who was converted? She had lived a sinful and immoral lifestyle, but when she met the Savior, he forgave her, he pardoned her, and she went and she told the men of the city. She'd met the Messiah, and he pardoned her. She saw him, she talked to him, she was converted at his word, and she went and told others of Christ. The demonic of Gadara was the same. He met the Savior. He was told, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. You know, when the Lord saves you, he does great things. He pardons your sin. He gives you joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment. And now you can't help but tell others, I've got it. I've got God's salvation. And it's found in Jesus Christ, and you can have it too. Wonder, are you fulfilling your Christian duty? Are you living for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, waiting in supplication, witnessing of the Savior? That's what Anna and Simeon were doing. That was how they were living after seeing salvation in Christ and laying eyes upon Him personally. I want to close tonight with a final thought. Not only the deliverer they beheld and the duty they performed, but the departure they envisaged. You'll see Simeon makes reference to this. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The word depart in the New Testament, it refers to death. You know, Simeon could face death. And Christians can face death. It holds no fear. It has no sting. Because they have peace with God. And isn't that a lovely word to describe death? Departure. The Greek word, it speaks about a journey. It speaks about leaving one place to go to another. And for the Christian, that's all death is. It's a departing from this life to go to heaven. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. And when Paul departed this life, he said he was departing to be with Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is in heaven, the New Jerusalem, at the Father's right hand. Paul was departing to be with Christ, which is far better. And Simeon could say, I'm ready to die. And to die in peace, you know, you'll only die in peace if you die with Christ. There's no peace in dying out of Christ. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if you've Christ, you can die at peace. And why is that? Because he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've experienced God's salvation. And if you've experienced God's salvation, you'll die in peace too. That's how we want you to die. It's how I want to die. I think it was Charles Wesley. I may be wrong in this. If I am, you'll forgive me. I think it was Charles Wesley maybe said to his brother John, our people die well. Our people die well. You know, you die well if you die with Christ. You'll die in peace. Simeon seeing the little Christ child, just 6 weeks old, he says, I'm ready to depart for of Christ. Can you say that tonight? Is that your testimony? I trust it is. That's what we desire for you. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we make the appeal. Get right with God. Get right with God. And you'll have the best life on earth and a glorious eternity.